Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. You know, every morning as Stokely and Zach get introduced to a new audience here as we are temporarily taking over the morning show, filling in for Mark and Mike for just today. We do the show between...
They took a Roby Day. After we gave Roby a Roby Day.
That's right. Question... Mark is typically a segment that happens here at this time.
I like that. I like
and we are doing
Mark.
Question Stokely here, brought to you by Brakes Plus.
I get this.
I think I'm supposed to say something like this. I am doing Question Stoke, Millennial Ben. You like that?
Wow.
I listen to the show. Here's my question. Go ahead and hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043 if you want to jump in and become a part of the show. We can tag in here. Ask Stoke any question as it pertains to the Denver Broncos. Here's my question. Did Drew Lock totally take quarterback off the board in this upcoming NFL draft?
Oh, boy, did he. It is off the board. John didn't want to touch a quarterback to begin with in this draft. He wants to draft positional players around the quarterback position to build this football team up. And now Drew Lock has shown what he has shown. That thing is way off the board. It's on the bottom level. They're not drafting a quarterback in this year's draft. No chance, no way, no how. They're drafting players, and certainly not in the first, you know, three premium rounds. Maybe you take one late, fourth, fifth, sixth round. But early in this draft, where we thought we might have to go out and find our next quarterback.
Right.
Yep, it's done. It's Drew Lock. And then it's going to be probably a veteran quarterback to mentor him a little bit. But this is his show.
It's so incredible how the narrative or maybe a better word is the sentiment surrounding a position can get turned on its head within a 2-week span. Just 14 days ago, you and I could have been filling in for the morning show. And I could have asked you, hey, do you think that the Broncos could be going back into the draft? And you could have reasonably said, yeah, I think the Broncos are going to take blankety blank at number 6 overall. And that would
have been. They're going to move up and go, yes.
That was reasonable. That was a reasonable thought. But Drew Lock forcibly has flipped that narrative. It feels like that Drew Lock is the plan here. And if he wasn't, what would the plan be? It wouldn't even make sense after seeing what we've seen over the last couple weeks.
Yes. I mean, he's going to be the plan. They're going to be patient with him. They're going to give this thing over to him. And the great thing and the fun thing for me looking at this situation is not only did Drew Lock respond, Rich Gangarello responded. So you got these two guys that are just embarking on their careers. When I say, you know, that I'm talking about, you know, obviously Drew Lock being his second ever start, but Rich Gangarello, you know, just embarking on learning how to be an offensive coordinator, doing it for the first time. And I really liked what I saw and how he put things around Drew Lock to highlight his strengths, to, you know, make him feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. They're not just saying, hey, Drew Lock, play this offense. Drew Lock, do this. They're trying to make him comfortable. They're trying to put him in position to be successful. And it's just the tip of the iceberg. That's what it is right now. It's like I think of the Ravens last year.
Mm.
That was just the tip of the iceberg for them and Lamar Jackson and what they were implementing. They put that offense in halfway through the season, like a Tim Tebow style of, you know, going from one offense to another offense. What did they do this offseason? They went all in. And they didn't scratch the surface. I mean, they went all in with that style of an offense. And look at it this year. And look how dynamic it is. Not saying that the Broncos offense is going to be that good, but that's the following steps is when you get into an offense, an offseason, and you can say, this is our quarterback. This is the guy of the future. He does things a little bit different. Now let's put him in position to be successful, and let's put our offense and let's tailor our offense around this young quarterback. That gets me excited.
We're playing Question Stokely here. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Here's one. What happens with Joe Flacco?
He's gone. He's done. That's it for Joe.
Well, see you later.
It's, you know, you're going with the young guy. He's going to be making too much money. Now you're going to pay the price on redoing the contract, but you're just going to move on from Joe and you're going to bring in another veteran guy that's going to cost you a lot less to mentor and be the backup around here. And it's,
is there any consideration to just keeping him around as the veteran backup? Like he's no longer going to be anyone's plan as the starting quarterback. So he's going to have to serve in a backup role. He's already under contract in 2020. I wonder if within the four walls over there at UC Health Training Center, if there is a consideration to just keeping him around and just having him be the, you know, Matt Moore, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, I guess that one doesn't make sense because he's still starting, but you know what I mean? That veteran presence.
McCown.
Right.
Type of cool. McCown's been that guy his whole career.
Right.
How can you be the veteran backup as a rookie? That's just how great he was. Right. We just knew he was going to be around for 30 years. I'm going to go coach high school. I'm retiring. Nope. He's back.
Right.
I mean.
Right.
So, find that type of quarterback.
The Brian Hoyers of the world.
Yes. B. Hoyer would be perfect.
You do love B. Hoyer. Is Joe Flacco just that guy? Is that the way he profiles now?
Right. I mean, you look at, they restructured his contract, right before the season. And you look at his numbers for next year. And if you cut him, you'd take a dead cap hit of 13.6. If you keep him, it's a 23.6. So it's really a savings of $10 million on the cap. That's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. So I don't see him staying at that number. Now I don't know if they can get it down to make it work for both parties because certainly he's in this offense. He knows Drew. How does he work with Drew? I think that would be the question also that you'd have to ask yourself. How does he work behind the scenes with Drew Locke? What is their relationship like? Do you think he's a great mentor for Drew Locke? And if it's yes to all those, then you know what? You try to find a way to keep him here. If he's really good for Drew Locke. Now, if he's just one of those guys where it's like, he just is there and he just helps out a little bit. And then you probably move on from him because of the cap savings that you could get around $10 million of cap savings from Joe Flacco. But if he's great to him and great mentor and he's like, oh, this guy is the perfect guy for our young quarterback. You say, oh, okay, we'll eat that extra $10 million because this guy and what he does for our young quarterback is, you know, he does a great job.
Well, he'd have to acknowledge the fact that he's turning the page in his own career. And I remember the tone around his comments when he was asked just, you know, feels like forever ago now, but just a handful of months ago, it was like, hey, are you going to mentor Drew Locke? And his sort of resistance to that. And then, you know, I saw a tweet yesterday from Andrew Mason when they said Drew Locke, he said Drew Locke came out of the football game and he went to the sideline and he was meeting with T.C. McCartney, Rich Gangarello, Brett Rypien, and Drew.
Right.
And Joe is just kind of off doing his own thing. Now, maybe that's a product of just being on IR, and I get that if that's the dynamic at play. But he would have to acknowledge his new set of circumstances that Drew Locke is the guy. And are you okay with that? And if you're not okay with that, where else are you going to be okay with that? Because that is now your current scenario.
Yeah, and that's, you know, ultimately what you have to look like as a player. Where am I at in my career? Am I going to get a chance to be a starter somewhere or compete for a starting job somewhere? And probably for Joe Flacco, it's a no. So can you put yourself in that situation and look at your career and say, you know what? Yep. I'll take a step back and I'll be a backup here. I like living here. My family likes it here. I still love playing football. Some people are like, no, I don't want to. I think I can still be a starter. If I'm not a starter, I'm done. I mean, obviously he's had a lot of success, played a long time, made a lot of money, so he doesn't have to play.
Yeah.
So everybody's wired different. Maybe he wants to go back to, I don't know, Jersey, Delaware, or wherever, you know, and just got a lot of kids and be there. So everybody's situation is different. It's going to be interesting to see how they do handle that backup spot next year and whether Joe's in consideration or not. I think his time is probably here is done though.
Here's a question, that we're getting a couple different times on the RamosLaw.com text line. You know, there was a story that broke on a Friday afternoon, just as we were getting off the air in our typical noon to three time slot, from Peter King appearing on WEEI in Boston, saying, you know, speculating about Tom Brady moving on from the Patriots. And he mentioned one team that could be a suitor for Tom Brady. And he mentioned the Denver Broncos.
Did you really?
He did. Did you hear that? Did you hear that audio?
I didn't hear that.
This is an interesting dynamic.
Have you watched Tom Brady lately?
Yeah. So
I don't want Tom Brady.
I wanted to get there.
I'm getting there right now. I don't want Tom Brady. Never have wanted him, and definitely don't want him now. He's not taking this team over the top. He's on the very, very downhill of his career, and it's slipping from underneath him right now. And that's with a really good defense, a really good defense that they have. What would we have him for? We got our young quarterback now. That was before, obviously, the report came out before Sunday.
So this is how quickly things change in the NFL, that we're sitting here on a Monday. And the sentiment that this conversation, or the tone rather, that this conversation had around it just on Friday has completely flipped. That, and I heard a DMAC talking a bunch about it, that, and look, Peter King is one of the most respected guys in the business. His reputation, his name rings out, if you will. And he's on the radio mentioning the Broncos specifically by name. We know that John has dipped into these waters in the past with the free agent quarterback, of course, with Peyton, but also with Case Keenum and Joe Flacco. I wonder if just this last 72 hours has totally obliterated the potential of even having that conversation.
Yeah, Cam Newton, all those guys, done. There is no more exploring bringing in a veteran quarterback here. It is the Drew Lock train, and it is rolling, and that's the way it's going to roll through the 2020 offseason and into the 2020 regular season. That's just the way it's going. No matter what happens here the next three games, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Nope, doesn't matter. This is Drew Lock all the way, all offseason, and into next year. That's going to be the plan. And I know I'm excited about it. You're excited about it. Broncos country's excited about it. And finally have a young quarterback that has a potential to be the guy around here for the next 10 years. We'll see if it happens or not. Okay, we'll see if it happens or not. I'm not crowning him right now, but
the
way he went out there and played was brilliant. Second start. And we'll see if he can continue to get better and improve and back it up. We'll see some setbacks. We'll see some mistakes. We saw it in the game, and he'll have many more of those. But I think organizationally wise, yeah.
Organizationally wise.
That is the plan.
Power through it.
That is the plan. It is Drew Lock, and you know what? We're not going to draft anybody. We're not going to sign a veteran guy to come in here and try to save the day and get us to, you know, 9-7, 8-8. We're going to bring in a veteran backup, and it's Drew Lock. I'm excited about it. I know you are, right?
Absolutely. I have been excited about Drew Lock. I've been calling for him to be playing for quite some time. And here's the thing. Like, two things can be true at the same time. I'm excited about him. I've been calling for him to play. I think they've mishandled the situation for a couple different reasons. But at the same time, I'm also acknowledging that I don't know how this is going to end. I'm not proclaiming Drew Lock is going to be a 15-year starter around here. I don't know. But I want to find out. I want to do everything in our power to find out if he can be that guy. That means drafting well. That means putting pieces around him. That means empowering him. Doing the things that the Broncos have not done here in the last handful of years.
Yeah, it gets you excited. That's what it does. It gives you hope. It gives you optimism. After watching yesterday's performance, it gets you really excited. I'm excited.
Troy Rank presented.
I know Troy's excited.
By Tranny Law stops by. Troy, you've been a resident of Colorado for decades here. Where does yesterday stack up? Not in terms of just an upset win. It was that. We understand that. But in terms of a new launching point of optimism, starting with Drew Lock, where does yesterday stack up?
Yeah, I mean, he caffeinated the offense. I've joked that he's the frosted side of life's mini-wheat, and he makes you enjoy football again and enjoy watching it. Part of the apathy towards this team has not been just the losing, but they were boring. Drew Locke's not boring. You can say a lot of things about this kid, but he is not boring. And, you know, having grown up here and lived in Colorado my entire life, there'll never be anything like John Elway joining the Broncos. I mean, that was national news before, frankly, there was national news. When they've got Jake Plummer, that gave him a charge. And, you know, Drew Locke has some Jake Plummer qualities. When I watch him play with that attitude and swag, the 7-8 weeks of Tim Tebow, Peyton Manning's whole reign. But since Peyton, there's been nothing like Drew Locke. That's why I've always said it's unfair to compare Drew to Paxton Lynch because, you know, Drew's a type A personality. Paxton was type Z. They're not comparable. And Drew Locke is giving them some, you know, some juice, making them feel alive again. And yes, it is 2 games. Keep perspective, but man, it's just fun. I mean, being around that team the last couple of weeks, there's joy in the locker room again. It's cool to see.
Yeah, Troy, that was going to be my question is, what was the feeling like in that locker room after the game? We heard Vic giving out game balls, and it sounded like it didn't seem like a 5-8 football team listening to Vic and those guys celebrating in the locker room after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this about Vic Fangio. You know, he's learning the nuances of being a head coach. I mean, at times it feels like he's still a defensive coordinator, not a head coach, but he's learning on the job as well. He's no questioning his football acumen and his, you know, his brilliance, especially on the defensive side. But these guys have played hard for him, and it's been jarring. I mean, he's the exact opposite of Vance Joseph, where Vance was kind of everybody's best friend. That's not Vic Fangio. But the guys are learning Vic Fangio's personality. But you ask about that locker room, Stoke. Those guys in there, again, it had a collegiate feel that these are like the freshmen and sophomores on a team that have kind of told people, hey, when we all come together, we're going to be really good. We got a chance to do something special. And you saw that play out yesterday, especially offensively. I mean, that's a young offense. With Ron Leary out, I think Garrett Bowles is the most senior member on the offensive team, you know, on that side of the ball. And it has a collegiate feel of guys like, we're all in this together. We're the ones that are going to turn the fortunes of this franchise around with Sutton, Lindsey, Reisner, Locke, Fant. Now you start to see some of these pieces come together. But the puzzle doesn't work if you don't have a quarterback. That's why it's so exciting with what Drew's doing is you see this kid athletically with his arm talent, with his confidence, and you go, you know what? I don't know how it's going to play out, but he's got a chance to be the guy.
Yeah, and it feels like believable for the first time in a long time. And these guys, these Broncos, always say the right thing. It didn't matter if they were talking about Paxton and Trevor or they're talking about Case Keenum. I remember Jeff Heuerman saying he throws the most catchable ball I've ever seen. Joe Flacco, everyone references the Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, the other team
very
did think
catchable
that.
Ball.
But they all say the right things, but it feels like for the first time in years that it's believable that the guys are talking about the quarterback position and we're talking about the quarterback position with conviction, not talking ourselves into it.
Well, you played a lot of basketball, Zach. I mean, put yourself on a basketball court. You have a guy who's a point guard who does everything right, but, you know, he's going to average 7 points a game, 4 assists, maybe 3 or 4 turnovers. The guys all like him. He works hard. But then they watch Russell Westbrook play and go, oh, my God, that's what it looks like. Like, that's what Drew Locke, he brings a talent where players know players. And they were telling me when they were watching him in practice, like, he's making throws we don't ever see in games other than Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying he's Mahomes, but he does stuff athletically, and then he's not afraid to go between his legs and point for a first down. He's not afraid to, you know, have fun. That hasn't been around here. I mean, Peyton Manning did it in a different way, but Jake Plummer had a little bit of that, certainly, but that's why, yes, guys said the right things about the quarterback. But what was different about Locke this whole last 4 or 5 weeks is guys are, it's like being on the basketball court and you have to pick teams and you're just like, oh my God, who's this guy? He's different. I mean, he can get his own shot. He can go one-on-one. He can dunk and he's going to, you know, taunt you afterward in class. They notice that. Guys pick up on that right away. Now he had to back it up through 2 games he has and there's going to be lumps. We've said that. It's fine. It's fine if it gets ugly at times. Let him keep developing. Now you have a plan, and that's been the issue. The Broncos keep changing lanes. Now with Luck, every decision you can make, you apply it to him, just as they did the offense. Instead of adjust the quarterback to the offense, no, adjust the offense to the talent of the quarterback. They finally, for me, feel like they found a lane, and you can see this light at the end of the tunnel.
Troy Rank, presented by Tranny Law. Troy, it is certainly a new day here in Broncos country. Appreciate you stopping by here on a Reaction Monday.
You got it, guys. Have a great show, too.
All right, there he goes, Troy Rank. Good stuff. Yeah, it's believable. It's believable. And we have to make sure we keep on reiterating, it's not going to be perfect. It's going to come with struggles.
And we understand that.
That's right.
And I think Broncos country hopefully understands that. I don't know, but I hope that they do. I know that we do, and we are being very positive today. We haven't crowned him as the next, a top five quarterback here, but man, it's the optimism. It's a hope that he gives you after watching what he did. I mean, you don't just come out there against a really good football team on the road when you are almost a double digit underdog. Is that right?
Yeah,
10 points,
9.5, 10 points, something like that. Yeah.
And do what he did. You don't just do that. It's not just because you get lucky. There's something there, and hopefully he can continue to progress.
You know, once in a while, I say to you, Stoke, I got to get something off my chest. And
you say that a lot.
I do.
Not once in a while, like every feels like 3 days a week.
Got a lot of stuff on my chest.
But I like that. I like when you just let it go. That's what I'm saying. Let it go. Don't keep it in. Don't keep it in, Zach.
All right. There's something that's been bothering me, and I see it on social media, and you can follow us both on Twitter. Both of us are pretty active. Stoke is at bstokely14, and I am at Byzline. You can hit me up on Instagram, too, if you're feeling frisky. But seeing a lot of this sentiment, you thought that Trevor Siemian was the guy, too. Like, well, don't forget the fast start that blankety blank had, and Trevor's the name that really sure does come to mind, because at one point in time, Trevor Siemian was leading an offense that was, I think back to that 2016 season, the Broncos started 4-0. Even the 2017 season, Trevor had this team at 3-1. And I remember after the Dallas Cowboys game, and wanted to, the stocking stuffer, let's sign him to this deal for this amount, blah, blah, blah. Just because something didn't work out in the past, let's not hold that against Drew Lock, and let's not like temper our commentary around the enthusiasm that we have for Drew Lock because something didn't work in the past with Trevor Siemian. They are not the same guy. Okay. And it kind of just irritates me that we need to slow down because at one point in time, we thought Trevor was the guy. Yeah, we did think that Trevor was the guy, potentially at one point. At one point, Trevor was on SVP show, the late night sports center. At one point, Trevor was riding around in the car drinking coffee with Peter King. He was hot. I got it. But let's not hold that against Drew Lock when it comes to our optimism.
Just because it was one way one time doesn't mean it's going to be that way this time. Okay, they're totally two different situations. Two different scenarios, and I think what and they're two different types of QBs, but I think what makes this one different also is the fact that gives me more hope too. And it doesn't matter where you're drafted, it doesn't matter where you're picked, but certainly when you're picked higher and then you show the promise, it's like, okay, well, this guy was supposed to be this guy.
Sure.
But Trevor, he was never supposed to be that guy. Doesn't mean he couldn't be successful and be that guy. It just doesn't happen as much as when you were like, okay, this guy was, we thought he might be picked at 10. Yeah, he fell to the second round, but he's still a premium pick. He could be that guy. It just seems like it gives you more optimism about it.
I go back to what I said. It's more believable.
More believable.
It's believable. And let's, for a brief second, let ourselves enjoy this believability. Like, it's okay. It's okay to get caught up in it because trust your eyes. Like, what do your eyes tell you? Like, even aside from the upset win, does your eyes tell you that he and Brandon Allen or Drew Lock and Trevor Siemian are the same? No, that kid's arm talent flashes.
He didn't have great eyes.
And if you can't tell the difference between Drew Lock and Brandon Allen or Drew Lock and Trevor Siemian, then you don't know what you're looking at. And I don't know how else to say it.
It was fun. I know that. It was fun. We scored over 24 points and we had explosive plays, converted third downs, scoring touchdowns. That was as good as it gets.
Stoke. In all the excitement surrounding Drew Lock and the upset win in Houston, there is a smidgen of downside. I'll tell you exactly what it is next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank, banking for good.
All right, so amidst the excitement surrounding Drew Lock and the win yesterday in Houston, and it was exciting, and we should be excited. It feels like a new launching point for Broncos country, a new launching point of optimism and turning the page and looking toward the future here with just a couple of games left and judging off what we've seen the last couple of weeks, but specifically yesterday. That was different and that was special. It was maybe the best Broncos win since Super Bowl 50. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think that's it. You know, we got Cowboys game. That was a big game. Vance's tenure opened with a win against the Chargers. That was a nice win.
Blocked the field goal, remember?
Yeah, Shelby.
Young Wei Koo got his field goal blocked by Shelby Harris.
But I think this was it. I really do. We've had a lot of losses here the last few years. And we've just kind of been searching, and the question has been around here, seems like for the last decade, like, can John find a quarterback?
Yeah.
Is he going to ever be able to find a quarterback? And now we have that hope with that performance that we saw. So, and they went out there and played the way that they played. I think it is the best one since the Super Bowl 50 victory.
There is, for some, downside to yesterday.
Some downside.
You know where I'm going
bad
here.
Bad celebrations?
No.
No.
Oh, you didn't like celebrations?
Well, for me, okay.
The Buzz Lightyear?
Laser? I don't mind that. I don't mind the celebration. Score a touchdown, celebrate. That's fine. Sometimes a little bit over the top of the backpack thing.
Secure the bag?
I'm not down with that. It looks like he's throwing up Crip signs. I just like, come on. I like you getting
Stokely.
Hype. Listen. You can say get off my lawn stuff if you want. I like you getting hype. Sometimes it's a little bit too much. Like, hey, expect this. Expect to get a first down. Like, he gets a first down. He's on their sideline. Like, I'm like, bro, get back to the huddle. Let's get going.
Oh,
I like them. No, I'm serious.
I know serious. You are. That's why I'm saying stoked.
I like the excitement, but like, let's taper it a little bit. You score a touchdown, you want to celebrate, that's great. But first downs, like, hey, get back in the huddle, let's get going. So maybe this time we don't have to burn a timeout while you're looking at your dang wristband for 30 seconds.
Stokely!
I'm not going to say all nice things today, Zach. That's
Brandon.
My only negative thing
Brandon.
I said all day. That's it, and I'm leaving it at that, Zach.
All right.
I said my piece. Okay, I'm not going to go down this road for 20 minutes. I said my piece. Now let's move on. We scored more than 24 points. It's a good day. Said what I had to say. I'm done.
You are truly something. To some, there's a little bit of downside. Because here's the thing. The season, from a big picture standpoint, has been lost. Okay? Season's over. You're not going to the playoffs. 0.0% chance that you're going to playoffs. Too much bad football has been played here. Okay?
I can't see any negative.
Oh, yes you can. Yes you can. Because to some, it is truly about the future and only about the future. And they don't want to walk the line of appreciating the here and now while also simultaneously being aware of what's next. And what's next is the NFL draft.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, Did you know, and I know you do because we update you on the odds every week on Stokely and Zach between noon and 3. We update you on the pick odds from Football Outsiders. Now, Football Outsiders, they're a statistical website, and they simulate the 2019 NFL season 30,000 times. Okay, so more than a little bit. 2 weeks ago, the Broncos had a better than 40% chance to pick in the top 5. Better than 40%.
I like top 5 picks.
I know you do.
Von Miller, Bradley Chubb.
You like guys like that, right?
Yeah, I like those players.
Okay.
Good players.
Okay.
Chubb!
14 days ago,
Mr. Chubb,
the Broncos had close to a 50-50 chance of picking a guy like Bradley Chubb in the top 5. You want to know what their statistical odds after 30,000 simulations? Take a guess what the Broncos' odds are, according to Football Outsiders, of picking in the top 5 in the NFL draft.
4%.
0.3.
Oof. 0.3.
It went from over 40%.
That's under 1.
That's
under 1. That's really low.
That's that Louisiana
Bayou
math breakdown.
Yeah, it's that Bayou geometry.
Hold that 0.3. Because you have teams like the Jets and the Falcons and the Jags and the Lions and the Cardinals and the Dolphins and the Redskins and the Giants and most of all the Bengals with a 99.1% chance of picking in the top 5. So in the midst of the optimism and the forward thinking and the future, there is a smidgen of downside. I'm not going to let it bring me down today, but there is something to be said for your draft position.
Okay, and so we've been kind of in sync, like, hey, moving forward here, let's get a good draft spot. We want good draft position. That's not only in the first round, it's in the second round, it's in the third round. We're not going anywhere this year. I would prefer to lose football games in the long run. I think it would make us a better football team, especially since we're not going anywhere. But right now, I've changed that view. I've changed that view because we're not looking for a quarterback. And if we're not looking for a quarterback, we're okay. We can find good football players all throughout the draft. Okay? At 15, at 8, you just got to find them. They're there, I promise you. They're there. Aaron Donald, I mean, player, J.J. Watt. I mean, you don't have to have a top 5 pick to have a good football player.
Sure.
They are there. It's John and company's job to find that guy and to find those guys. We're not in a quarterback draft. We're not going for a quarterback. We're done with that. We're finding positional players around the quarterback. So I'm A-okay right now with us falling. I still would like to have a, you know, top 10 pick, but it is what it is. Winning games and watching Drew Lock go out there and do what he did is way more important right now than getting a premium draft pick.
I'm really glad that that's your viewpoint because it happens to sync up with mine and something that I said to you this past week. Yes, the draft position matters. And yes, the higher up in the NFL draft, I love Sean Drotar's analogy of standing next to the dartboard. That the first round, you're right next to the dartboard. And you can just put it in there. And every subsequent round after that, you take a step back. So there's definitely something to be said. But the value of learning how to win football games and reestablishing your culture when it has been so bad around here. It's been so bad, right? You're picked in the top 10 for consecutive years. You're going to miss the playoffs for 4 consecutive years. But the value in developing winners and rebooting the culture, that's what we're seeing happen right now. And the value of that trumps the value of picking higher in the NFL draft.
Yes, you're spot on. Still would be nice to have a nice high premium pick because if you're not looking for a quarterback, the trade value and what you could get for that pick. But you know what? If you got your quarterback, just make sure you find the right guys in the draft to put around that quarterback. And you're still going to have a top 20 pick probably, depending on what happens here. Somewhere right around there. There's a lot of great football players to be had. You have a lot of draft picks. So if you wanted to move up a few spots, you can do it. Broncos are in a good position. Let's go out there and look like we did yesterday and play that type of football. And wherever we're drafting, we'll be fine.
something happened yesterday afternoon in the Broncos game that hadn't happened in 416 days. Tell you exactly what it is next. Something happened yesterday afternoon for the first time in 416 days. I had to go back and count the days on the calendar, literally, because for the first time since October 18th, 2018, Thursday Night Football, when the Broncos played the Little Sisters of the Poor, the Arizona Cardinals, they scored more than 24 points. Can you believe they finally did it?
I know. We're about back to put up a countdown of how many days it has been since we scored 24. And just when we were talking about that last week, they did it. Never expected them to go down to Houston, a team that just did what they did to New England and played that offense and Tom Brady, which isn't the same this year, obviously. We've seen it. And coming off that win and playing as well as they've been playing to just get dominated. I mean, it really did. It looked like varsity versus JV.
It did.
I mean, guys were wide open. I mean, Broncos out-schemed them. They out-executed them. They out-coached them. All of those things. I mean, it was flat out offensively pretty much as good as it could get. Pretty much as good as it could get. I mean, you couldn't ask for better. I mean, take away that one pick maybe and score on that drive.
Yeah.
But, man, was that a great performance. It really was. I mean, they made the Texans look like a awful football team and an awful defense. Like they didn't know what they're doing. They got a great defensive coordinator. Romeo Crennel, that guy's been around forever.
Seriously.
With the Patriots, won a lot of Super Bowls.
Oh yeah.
They are a well coached team.
Bowling ball.
And, huh?
Looks like a bowling ball.
Yeah, that guy. and Scangarello and company just, they out-coached him.
They did. And let's give some credit to Rich Scangarello. He has come under fire lately. Our guy, D-Mac, in the afternoon said last week he's a dead man walking. And we talked about this a little bit. You know, it felt like Rich Scangarello had his back against the wall. And it felt for a second that the Broncos maybe, and we weren't certain, but maybe going to a fifth offensive coordinator in 5 years. Just the definition of dysfunctional, right? Gary Kubiak, Mike McCoy, Bill Musgrave, Rich Scangarello, and whoever was next. Did Rich save his job yesterday?
Yes. He had to have. Unless, Zach, the dysfunction behind closed doors is more than we've heard. And if that's the case, and if they think it was just lucky, if they think that he is in over his head, and they know better than anybody, you're there every single day. So John and Vic, they know.
Right.
But if that's not the case, yes, he saved his job. He showed creativity. He showed aggressiveness. He showed the ability to adapt to his young quarterback and to help that young quarterback be successful. That's what he did. I mean, we've seen plays that we hadn't seen all year.
Right.
And that's the highlight Drew Lock's strength. And that gets me excited about moving forward with that duo as a pair and moving forward throughout the offseason. And now all of a sudden they have time to continue to build off of what they have started and build it around a young quarterback.
You and I started to get optimistic during the week when we heard Rich Scangarello talk.
Yep.
It was one of these things where they were just words. So we were like, okay, I got it. They're just words. But there was a couple times you and I looked at each other and we heard some of the phrases that were coming out of Rich's mouth that I went to Drew Lock and asked him, what makes you comfortable? And we were going to tailor the offense around Drew's strengths. It was almost like he'd been listening to Stokely and Zach the last 3 years and were like, how can I make those guys happy? And then said whatever he needed to say. Obviously, he was unprompted. But it was one of these things where like, man, it feels like, although it's been some bumpy roads here with Rich, and I have questioned whether Rich was even qualified to be the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos after he was, you know, quality control guy that you're getting coffee and wiping down the whiteboard just 3 years ago. He was coaching Wagner, you know, at 44 years old. That's that Wagner. It means you're trying to like beat Duquesne in Central Connecticut. And I said, is this guy qualified enough to be the offensive coordinator? And I think that skepticism was fair from me, and the questions were fair. But I think he's winning some people over, myself included, but I also believe other offensive coaches in that room. Because I also told you this past week, I was hearing, and we had heard from DMAC and others, and I heard it myself, that there were offensive coaches that were questioning whether Rich should even have this job.
And that's what happens when you struggle. And that's what happens when you are a first-time offensive coordinator. And you haven't done it before. Look, it's like a quarterback. It's like a young quarterback. You're going to go through some growing pains. You're going to have some struggles. You're going to have some issues. And oh, by the way, your talent pool is really, really young.
Right.
And you played 99.9% of the season without your highest paid right tackle at the time when they signed Juwan James. You have Garrett Bowles going through his issues. You have a lot of young football players, and look, there's going to be some struggles there, and you're doing it for the first time, and your quarterback situation's unraveled. Joe Flacco wasn't who you thought he was going to be. He got injured. You go to Brandon Allen. Now you're going to Drew Lock. I mean, it's hard to be a consistent, successful, high-powered offense when you have all of those things working against you. Now, if you can keep some consistency and continuity together with this group and go into year two with Rich and Drew and coming back, now my expectations would rise for this offense. And that gets me excited about the potential of moving forward, of having consistency within the coaching staff with your young quarterback. Not only watching Drew Lock, but that also is a small part of helping him be successful.
You think Kareem Jackson feels like he's walking on air today?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I think he's going to be AFC. I tweeted this out right after he had the pick. I think he's going to be AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
I'd have to look at the other stats, but, I mean, he had a tremendous game. So
he was everywhere, man.
He would be in consideration for sure.
That hit on DeAndre Hopkins, that thing reverberated throughout the football game. Yeah, Hopkins' head still ringing. Then he had the defensive touchdown, which he ran back like 70 yards after Atachu gave him the football. Then he had the pick. He also had a critical stop on third down where the tight end, it was like a third in,
yeah,
like four or five or whatever it was.
Shorter than that. It was like third and two.
It could have been. Okay. So, but the big stop, you know, right at the line of scrimmage.
Guy doesn't fall forward. You know, he hits him and he just kind of crumbles.
And Kareem Jackson's not a large human being, but you talk about that phrase that it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. Kareem Jackson, woof, woof. That man is a dog.
Yeah, he's a competitor. And, you know, just the defense is better. That's great players. And Kareem Jackson's not a special, special player. You know, he's not, I don't know if he's ever been to All-Pro.
He has not.
If he's ever been an All-Pro, but he is just a dang good football player. And he makes everybody around him better. And that's what he does. And he brings an energy. He brings a competitiveness to him. And when I watched the 49ers defense in training camp, that's what you saw from those guys. Mm. They love to practice. They love to compete. And they brought it and they took it to the Broncos.
Yep.
But that's what you see from Kareem Jackson. That's what he loves. He loves playing football and it's contagious. You need those types of guys in your locker room. You need them on the practice field. You need them on the game field. And that's how you change the culture. A guy like that will change your culture.
He's a tone setter. And I think he's going to play in the Pro Bowl. Kareem Jackson, former first-round pick. He's the Houston Texans' all-time interception leader. I think he's hauled in 18 interceptions during his 9 years in Houston. He never has been to a Pro Bowl. I think that changes this year. And I agree with you. He hasn't been a special football player, but he's playing special football right now. And those are two different things.
That's right. He should be a Pro Bowler. We'll see. It's a lot of voting, so you just never – popularity contest, but he should play in the Pro Bowl for sure.
And speaking of tone setter, how about Stokely and Zach getting your day
speaking
started?
Speaking of Pro Bowls and all pros.
You kidding me?
Oh,
we're better than you, and we know it.
This has been an all-pro performance here this morning.
I think it has. And, you know, I hadn't seen DeHuff since I took down that Brady picture. And so it feels good kind of walking in here, knowing I don't have to see Brady anymore. Brady pitcher.
That's right.
Feels good. It feels good coming here, sitting in his seat, taking over his spot. And it just felt good today.
This is the first time you and I have ever done this together.
First time I've ever done it. I've never done the morning show.
It felt right. It felt right. Shout out to Scott DeHuff and Millennial Ben for making our lives easier. Shout out to the a handful of listeners who said some really nice things to us on the RamosLaw.com text line. And shout out to you on a Monday. Have a blessed week. We got Sandy and Orlando coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.